Tbilisi, capital of the Republic of Georgia. The airport, 4 in the morning. The customs line does not appear to be moving. We're stuck in a cement shed, slapped down on the tarmac with no windows, no fans. I count 1, 2, 3 working light bulbs. It's hot even at this hour. The air is thick with cigarettes and diesel fuel. Alex and I have been traveling now for, what, when did we leave the States? Who knows? We haven't slept in 48 hours, anyway. Come on, Alex mutters. Let the extortion begin. The last time he came over here to visit his family a couple of years ago, one customs official stuck out his hand and demanded $50. $50 for what? That's a lot of money here. Tax, the man said. Tax for what? Tax for you're going to be breathing our air. Alex says things he'd rather not show customs. A laptop he wants to give to his sister, some dollars, possibly a lot of dollars, for his mother, and I've got these funny tape recorders and mics. We're both feeling nervous. What's this? A guy is waving at us from the far side of the room. A pudgy guy in blue jeans, waving in a bossy way like he expects us to do something. Oh my God, says Alex, it's the cop. My friend, the cop. Friend, well, Alex recalls he spent an afternoon with him the last time he was here. A chance encounter through friends of friends. Man did promise to meet us at the airport, but that's just a nice thing to say. Yet, here he is. And he really must be a cop, because he starts flashing a badge and barking and shoving people and... bingo! We're out. Out of the customs line, out of the airport, we're bouncing around town in a shiny black SUV with the stereo cranked up, and I'm thinking, great, any minute now, we can get some sleep. The cop will take us to the train station, and we'll be on our way to Batumi, the town where Alex's family lives. Great. Not so great, Alex says. Our friend, the cop, is going to drive us to Batumi himself. He insists. But that's 300 miles, isn't it? And the roads are bad, aren't they? Alex shrugs. Georgian hospitality. Can't turn it down. Okay, I'm too tired to argue. Fine. The cop will drive us to Batumi. But first... champagne! The cop takes us to his apartment, pops open some bubbly, and flips the TV on so we can enjoy loud music while we drink. I check my watch. It's 5 a.m. The apartment must have been grand round about 1890. 20-foot ceilings, parquet floors, and tattered silk wallpaper, dust everywhere, exposed wiring. Not much furniture apart from a couch. A body could sleep on that couch. When the cop spots a teddy bear on the floor, he quickly hides it behind the couch. Maybe a wife and kid someplace, but they've been edited out for this performance. Our friend isn't wearing a wedding ring either. He says it is time now for us all to take a bath. Ever been to a Turkish bath at 5:30 in the morning? In the main room is a marble pool full of steaming water, deep enough to drown in if you pass out from the heat. The steam smells like sulfur. Overhead, a domed ceiling with a hole at the top lets in light, or it would if the sun were up. Off to the sides are smaller rooms with moldering chairs and spittoons. It's like a very decrepit, very humid men's club. Naturally, the place was closed when we showed up. The cop just whipped out that badge again, and it must be the right kind of badge, because pretty soon the doors opened for the three of us. Maybe our friend is not any old traffic cop. Alex is now using the word detective, or special police, or security force. It's not clear. Sometimes he even says KGB, though that no longer exists, does it? Whatever his job is, the cop is complaining about it. In Georgia, he says you can't put anyone in jail. Everybody's got friends, got relatives in high places, connections. No way you can take him to jail. Very true, Alex Hance. Can't put folks in jail here. Except, of course, the poor and the weak. The cop tries English. I can break things. Looking around, I see marble and hot water. What is there to break? I mean, he says, I can break the law. Oh, the law. Well, that's nice, isn't it? Yes, he says, I can break the law because I am the law. ...10 a.m. We are not on the road to Batumi. We're running around Tbilisi in circles. The cop has fed us breakfast at a pricey restaurant and is now dragging us on a tour of monuments, castles, scenic viewpoints. We've lost all control of the agenda. How come there are no traffic lights? There are lights, actually, but none of them seem to work. In a city of 1 million people, every intersection is a demolition derby. We, of course, plow right on through. Hey, see how big our car is? Maybe the traffic lights went out during the Civil War. I know there was shooting in the streets, but that was 10 years ago, wasn't it? Why don't the lights work now? The cop looks at me like I'm an idiot. When they work, he says, all they do is piss people off. It's dark in here. Priests with long black beards and scarlet robes are gliding through the shadows. They carry gold candles and silver incense burners. Now and again I can make out scary paintings on the walls. Demons, angels with eyes on their wings. 13th century, the cop says. I feel faint. It's the heat, the fatigue, the frustration, whatever. But there's a lump in my throat, and my eyes are filling with tears. I look at Alex. He's getting misty, too. Uh-oh. The cop is beginning to make big signs of the cross in the air. If we don't get out of here quick, we're going to convert. Okay, we have done Tbilisi. Churches, mosques, statues of men on horseback, Soviet apartment buildings, vegetable markets, the works. We are now learning about the life of Iris Murdoch. It goes like this. The cop has left us at his apartment, now suddenly said to be his parents' apartment. Anyway, there are two rather wrinkled people in charge, and the one playing the part of the mother is force-feeding us watermelons and ice cream. Her son, she explains, has to do an errand, but we'll be back in 10 minutes. She explained this 3.5 hours ago. Meanwhile, the father has turned on the TV, more hospitality, and seeing we can't follow the lyrics of Georgian MTV, he has kindly switched over to the BBC. The Brits are running a documentary on the last days of the writer Iris Murdoch.
She was very curious about the perversions of power.
Our parents stare at the screen with fixed smiles. They fan themselves, they smoke Marlboros, they pretend to be having a lovely time. Alex, I whisper, this is insane. Can't we just walk away from this nightmare and catch the train to Batumi? No, he says, it's too late. We're back in the car with the cop, only it's not the same car. This one looks to have come from a war zone. The windows are smashed, the sides are kicked in, the seats are sprung, and the engine is shedding parts as it goes. Yeah, the cop says, this is my car. It's the one I use for work. You know how things get banged up at work. This is the car we're taking to Batumi. If we can actually go to Batumi, the cop wants to check out a disco first. Let's go to the disco, he says, and pick up some beaches. No. No beaches. Head for Batumi right this minute. and step on it. Step on it was not a good idea. I've never imagined potholes this big. A lot of them are bigger than the car. The cop ignores them till the very last minute, then veers over to the wrong side of the road. This isn't driving, this is swerving. Thank goodness the car quits every 10 minutes or so. Something to do with the fuel line. I just wish Alex would stop saying he thinks we're on the wrong road. We're going through mountains and forest as the sun sets. We pass a village where people are milling around a church. Oh, look, the cop says, a country wedding. I love them. They're my bread and butter. Those things never end without a stabbing. I'm fading in and out. Sometimes we're in a car, other times we're in a cathedral with Iris Murdoch. Oh, we've stopped again. At first I think we're in the middle of nowhere, surrounded by crickets. Then I realize we're in the main street of a town that's completely dark. Either the people have all left, or the power's gone out, or it's 4 in the morning. I can't tell. The watch is busted. The hands have dropped off just from shaking around in the car. It appears we've hit a pothole hard enough to blow out a tire. We've got a spare, but it's bolted under the trunk, and what do you know, we don't have tools. I don't care. I don't care if we ever get to Batumi. I don't care about anything anymore. The cop seems to think maybe if we kick the car. You know, I'm going to lie down. It may be I'm lying in the middle of the road. That's not important. The point is I'm finally asleep.